Welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Mystery School podcast. And this episode is all about practical spirituality, the human and divine in harmony. And I have a beautiful guest speaker today to speak on this topic. She is an epic leader from Romania who I've had the pleasure of connecting with when we co-authored in the same book, Magdalene Codes. Her name is Anca Levin, sorry, Bl Lavinia, emotional and energetic alchemist, intuitive soulful astrologer, author, channel and new earth leader, sacred feminine disruptor, crisis and shadow work master. She has 10 plus years of experience with psychology and angel therapy, mediumship, shamanism, womb awakening, feminine mysteries, astrology, and some initiations into energy work. So welcome so much. Thank you so much for being on this episode, Anka.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me here. It's such an honor and such a blessing. I feel stoked about today.
Yeah, me too. Like even from the first time that we connected and even more recently when we've been more connected, like I've just felt like we've had such a deep connection and we have so many similarities in what we actually believe in and what we practice. But I just find that you're so unique in what you do just because you have such an extensive background. Like you have all these modalities and you've done some psychology in the past as well. So I'm just curious, how long have you known that you're an intuitive person?
How long have I known? I think I've been an intuitive for my entire life since I was a child, but I didn't know that this is what you call it. I
Right.
was very sensitive, and that's the thing that made me feel weird and different. And then I kind of like disowned that because it was weird for me and people didn't get my sensitivity. And then I think when I went on this path, let's say the awakening path, the spiritual path, I started slowly understanding what a sensitive is, what an empath is, and I started embracing that and understanding that I am one of those people. Maybe around 6, 7 years ago, let's say, I started
Oh,
to really be aware that this is me,
right.
because
That's
we don't
incredible.
talk about it. We don't talk
No.
about it in society. And I even did like a short video recently talking about sensitive people and empaths being normal.
Yes, absolutely. And there's so many different realms of sensitivity and empathic traits too. Like I find there's an empowered version of those two traits. And there's also the disempowered version, depending on your past experiences. So that must have been really difficult at times as a child, not having a lot of knowledge and support around those things. But I'm just curious if you had any experiences when you were young that when you look back, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, the first and the most potent one that I can remember is when I was like 8 or 9, and I used to like suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and have this connection, this burning fire inside my heart with God and divinity and, source in the universe. I didn't have a specific religious background. I wasn't like taught or, told to be in a certain way in this area. So it all came from this, I don't know what. At that time, I had no idea what was going on. I just like woke up in the middle of the night and I started praying and crying and asking like God for forgiveness because we're mean to each other, and little
Right.
child, pure words coming from the heart. That's one of the most potent things that I can remember. And then maybe my search for God and Jesus. I have a special connection with Jesus, and not in the religious way, not at all. But at the beginning, the religion was the first thing that I had handy, like most of us probably.
Right.
So for some years, I just, looked in different confessions, different churches for that something that made me feel in that certain way, that it's even tough to describe it in words, because it's a feeling thing, that peace, that connection, that bliss, that something that you cannot describe. And I didn't find it in any church, in any religion. I just found people. People that were mean, people that were, people, and
Yeah,
all
human.
kinds of rules. Human, yeah. and all kinds of rules and all kinds of like technicalities and all of that thing that was not about God, was not about divinity, was not about the heart. And I felt very strange in the sense that I had a big heart in this way that I was very open and naive. And I was also not allowed to be that. I was kind of mocked because of that. And I was told not to be that sensitive and stupid and silly, you know, not to trust people so much, not to believe, because I used to believe that everybody's a good soul, no matter where they come from, no matter the family, no matter how they look or how much money they have. For me, it's just that they were good souls, good people, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that makes a lot of sense now, because this is who I actually am. And I started remembering all of that and embracing this, let's say, naivete or ingenuity, actually,
yeah,
you know, that I want to keep, because
yeah,
I do believe, you know, in people, in their hearts, in their souls.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that is something that is so incredibly lost because of people's woundings and their experiences, that they start to shut down and shield their heart space. And then it makes it really difficult for people to connect in a deeper way, because everyone is going deeper into separation and distrust and just not being genuine with themselves. And I
It's
think
also
that's
what I did. It's
exactly.
Also what I did.
Absolutely. And the fact that you went from having an open heart to shielding to coming back to having an open heart and following that path, I think takes so much courage as well. Because healing is not something that is just easy and blissful and rainbows, like so many people might describe it at times. You know,
Yeah.
it can be very difficult. You have to face a lot of shadows.
It is.
And it just takes so much power to do that. So that's incredible.
It is. Thank you. I didn't
Yeah.
see myself as a courageous person until recently, when maybe one of my best friends started telling me those kind of things here and there, like, you're the most courageous person I know. You're the most, like, you're always transforming and you're always risking and you're always going out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I've seen someone like you, so resilient, so perseverant, so like always there back on the saddle, no matter what, and never, you know, giving it up. Giving up this
Yeah.
path, giving up, you know, on myself, on
Yeah, I
who I
completely. I so agree with that, because what I've seen in you is that you've overcome so many big challenges. You know, you don't let those things stop you, even if you go into your humanness. And of course, it's hard, and sometimes you question things, there's emotions that happen. But the fact that you can work through that and see sometimes like the big blessing in those challenges, and keep questioning things and not just always following what is expected, takes so much courage and bravery.
Thank you for saying that. It's also a reminder for me, and it does me so good to
Yeah.
hear it.
Yeah.
As I've never, this is one of my things, I've never walked this path following trends, fitting in trends. I've always kind of tried my best to follow my soul, to follow, you know, what feels good for me, what I want, what is. And this is also very tough in this world where everything is boxable, where everybody needs to fit in, where there's so many recipes and rules, especially in areas like, you know, marketing, PR, sales, because you also have a business. And not only just being a person, you know, you have to be like that, you have to not be like that, all of those conditionings. This is also something that I discovered through other people, you know, as we're mirrors and we heal through each other and in relationships, that I've actually always followed me in a way,
right?
You know, and my calling. And when I didn't know what to do and it was hard and when I was in doubt, I just stopped and I said, God, Goddess, Great Mother, I don't know, take it from here, show me the way.
Wow.
You know? Because I'm just human, my mind doesn't know.
Absolutely. And there's so many people here just not living their mission and their purpose. So the fact that that is something that you're bringing to so many people on this planet and helping them to start understanding for themselves, it's absolutely incredible. And especially because you have to also have that sense of faith in your path and where you're going and where you're being led. So how do you do that? How do you keep that faith?
That's a good question. How do I keep the faith? You know, when I keep thinking about this, because it comes up, and it comes up in the form of like, what makes you different? Like, how is it? Someone asked me one time, how is it that you manage to always be on this path and never give up and stay here? And how is it that others don't? They don't make it. And I'm like, I think I had this faith and this courage since forever. I just forgot for a bit. Because I also went into my dark zone, I was an employee, all of the human normal life, let's say. It's something inside of me, I think, that I was born with, and I just keep recognizing it. I just trust that everything's gonna be okay. I just believe that everything's gonna work out just fine. And it's probably also because I noticed, being an observer of my life and being very aware all the time, I observed how divinity, how the universe has my back. And I observed all these, you know, examples. When I let go, when I like have an intention and then it manifests, when, you know, I understand why it had to be that way. If something like bad happens, then I get it. Oh, okay, thank you. That's why it happened. And, you know, looking back, it builds on the faith. It always ends up well in a way. Even I have this saying, even when it's not good, it's good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's all for growth. It's all for evolution. It's all for a purpose. I strongly believe this. It's all for a purpose. And this is part of that naivete and idealistic way that I am and I feel that was so not understood and still is not very accepted or understood. Why? Because I'm not realistic. I'm not logical. I'm not 3D thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting because things being logical, depending on the person, it's very subjective as well. Like what's considered logical and what isn't. And I love the fact that what you said about what's kept the faith essentially this whole time is being able to see what has been working out for you. Most people have a negativity bias, so they will just look at the things that have been negative and create stories around that, which can highly limit a person. But you look at what has been positive through those scenarios, having that self-reflection capability and understanding what you learned so that things you can either change moving forward or what you might have missed last time around. So it just opens up your self-awareness even more. So I think that's an important connection, that sense of self-awareness, reflection, and how that actually builds on your faith.
Yes, and I think I'm like positive biased.
Yeah, that's
except
great.
Like some years in my life, now I cannot, you know, not say it, as I'm also a passionate astrologer. Jupiter is my chart ruler, and for whoever knows a bit of astrology, Jupiter is the expansive one, you know, the creative one, the one that has fun, the one is that's always positive and trusting, you know.
Yeah.
So that's also a bit into like, okay, this is how I'm structured. This is who I actually am. I was walking on the street the other day and I was thinking I should post something like examples of bad things, let's say, quote unquote, that happen and how I can immediately turn them into positives and how I immediately see the good in them. I always do that naturally.
Amazing, right? And that's such a great skill to have naturally. Because most do not have that. Is that something that you help your clients with?
I guess I do, because, yeah, I found myself a few times when a client told me, for example, oh, but I'm so focused on problems. I'm so focused on the bad thing. I'm so focused on seeing what it doesn't work. I just immediately said, but what if this is your gift? Let's look at this from another angle. For example, what if this is a great ability and skill that you have in business and you could help people that have businesses to see what it doesn't work in their processes or, you know, company and improve that because you see that and they don't.
Oh, amazing.
Just an example.
Right. That's incredible. Wow. Your clients are so lucky to have someone who has that type of sight and the different angles and perspectives. And I think that's what you really developed over your life, having gone through all the things that you have, being
yeah,
able
I
to have that gift.
I actually, it's one of the things that I'm very good at, seeing multiple angles, perspectives, having a bigger vision all the time. And sometimes when I catch, for example, my husband being caught up in like little things in life, traffic and stuff like that, or if something happens, like a cold or whatever, I'm always like, but look at the bigger picture. See this. Let's understand this. Let's look at this like this. And then it all makes sense and it always becomes a positive in this way because every little thing leads to something better.
Absolutely. Wow, amazing. And I'm just curious because you said you were just an employee before doing other things, getting caught up in the human life. So
Yes.
what actually propelled you into going into this style of business that is so different?
Oh yes. Well, I think I always let's put it a little bit in context. I always had this passion for psychology since high school, and I think even earlier when I because I read a lot of books and I was very fascinated with the human mind, how it works, why it's like that. And I thought of myself like someday being a psychotherapist, having my own practice, like that classical sense psychotherapist, because I didn't know anything else at that time. And then, of course, being a student, I wanted to get a job for like some years, which led to a lot of years being employed. And what I noticed, because I'm an explorer and I like to try things out and to give myself some challenges and to see how that is, how that plays out, what I learned from that. So I kind of take risks a lot. And I went in different jobs because I didn't find myself. I didn't find myself belonging in any way in those jobs. Big corporate jobs or smaller ones, it didn't matter. I just saw a very cold world focused on money and profit only, and not caring about the humanness, not caring about, the team and the people, their wants, their needs, their hearts, being human. And this is was my focus, but they didn't care about that. So because I didn't fit in and I didn't actually feel that I could bring value, improve something, contribute in any way, because they were not interested in my way of being and thinking. The universe made such a thing that actually my boss at that time very angrily told me, "We don't need you. You go find yourself another job," very like that. And I was so shocked about that because they was also my friends, and I felt a big, big betrayal at that moment. Because I was always like a very good employee, very serious, very involved. So that was my gate. That was the door that the universe brought up for me to just like slam the door and say, I will never return in this place again. And this is how, actually, during that, like after quitting a little bit, a few months, angels appeared into my life. Spiritual
Incredible.
books appeared into my life just like that while I was finishing my studies in psychotherapy and psychology. And this is how everything opened up.
That's incredible. And I love that it was like the universe kind of slamming that door so that you had to explore and see something new, because otherwise you might have stayed, right? And I did the same thing. Same thing happened in my corporate job
I'm sure
before I
because
got
we're
into
so
this.
similar.
I know, and that's why I love listening to you. I could listen to you all day talk about your experiences because there's so many good things that you can learn from that. But I'm just curious too, like when it came to that job, and since they weren't interested in your way of thinking and way of being, so then you were doing your psychotherapy and then you started finding the angel books. What was it that you were focusing on then when the spiritual books started coming?
I had no idea what I was gonna do. I had no money saved. I had no plan. All I knew was that I was becoming sick in that place of work. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was feeling very bad, worse and worse, physically, emotionally, mentally. And it got to a point where I thought to myself, like, this is not worth it. In one moment, I thought that. And then when these books appeared, and then I started studying a lot, like a sponge, absorbing everything, I felt that this is home, this is what I was looking for, but I didn't know. It was kind of, I think about it, was kind of a connection back to my childhood, to that specific, heart that I had and eagerness for spiritual things and God and that. And I didn't know how. I just knew that I felt joy. I felt tears on my cheeks, It was warm tears of recognition, of belonging, of finally finding something that's important. And I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do now? I have no idea. Someone was supporting me at that time, the guy I was with at that moment. So we kind of lived very tightly for a bit there, because it was hard for me to start a business. And what I started with actually were card readings, oracle card readings with angels. That was my first thing.
That's such a huge jump to go from corporate and then go into readings for people. That's amazing. And I
Yeah.
think that's going to be so relatable for so many people too, because so many people feel that way in their job. They feel sick, they can't sleep,
Yeah.
they can't eat, they're just stressed 24/7, and they're thinking to themselves probably, well, but this is great. I'm
Because
supported
I have a good
monetarily.
paycheck.
Exactly. It's secure, it's stable, I got benefits, right?
And let me
But
tell you about the tests, because a lot of people might also go through this as well. Like after I quit my job and after I decided that this is my new path, my new, thing in life, even though I had no idea how it's gonna work. But I was decided, like, this is what I'm gonna do from now on. Guess what? People started calling me to hire me for a lot of money on like good positions, on like everything that I wanted before and didn't happen. And I had a moment there where I was like very like bamboozled, like what is going on with this?
distraction.
Yeah, and I took some time and I just felt into it and I thought, well, do you want to go back or do you want to go forward? Like, if I get this job, okay, I will have good money, but I will have to work 10, 12 hours a day and be a slave. Do you want that? Or do you want freedom and joy in following your heart with less money for now, but just own your time and own your energy? Because I believe, and maybe this is a very controversial thing, but it's my opinion,
I
that
agree.
we sell ourselves and we are slaves when we work as employees, especially in these corporations. We sell time, we sell our energy for what? Or something
Exactly.
that doesn't make us happy.
Exactly. And especially if change isn't possible either, because same thing happened with me. I used to get in trouble and get yelled at by my superiors for treating people like people, for saying please and thank you, when I was asking them to do certain duties. They're like, you're making it seem like it's something they don't have to do. Like, I'm actually just treating them like a human being. And that's why our turnover was so low at the time, but it created a lot of conflict and a lot of issues. And I
Wow.
think that can be the incredible thing, though, like as businesses move forward, because you're also a New Earth leader. And you probably
Great.
know that businesses cannot be sustained this way any longer. They're going to have
Yes.
to shift up and start to raise their frequency, and the
Big time.
corporations are going to have to change. So I don't think that would be
Yeah.
possible without people like you that have gone through that experience and now have come into the emotional energetics, the emotional intelligence, the shadow work mastery. So that eventually, maybe you could even go back into those businesses and start to help them raise their frequency and connect their heart with what they're doing.
I have one of my good friends. When you say that, I'm reminded of her, and I actually told her, because she said, I asked her one time, why aren't you happy with your job right now? Because you're very good at it, like, but why aren't you happy? And she's like, because all the humanness is gone from it. And I'm like, but you notice that you are the one that could bring that humanness back, because you are such a big soul and heart and such an integrity and ethical person, and that is what these businesses need right now. So
Absolutely.
it's
That's
exactly what you said.
the New Earth way. Like, I truly don't believe that businesses are going to be able to be that empty any longer, right? Because, like you said, people are just essentially selling themselves for profit instead of doing things from the heart. Because to me, wealth, it doesn't matter if you're empty or not, wealth comes regardless, right? So you can either do it in the integral way, or you can keep going in this upper way, which creates more chaos, more conflict. And that's when, you know, more negative stuff is going to happen a lot more often, right? A lot more illness, a lot more higher types of conflict.
Yes. I noticed one thing, and I said, from my observations during these years, I noticed that there are like two kinds of people. The ones that make it through their own will, fighting and, you know, pushing and pulling and hustling, and the ones who make it with God together.
Exactly.
From their heart.
Yes, I've seen the exact same.
So you can make it either way, but ask yourself, what's the cost?
Exactly. Oh, I love that. What is the cost? Yeah. That's
because
there's
costs both ways, of course, there's costs. And then you can decide which one, you know, is more fitted for you. But I think that if you're truly, truly like honest with yourself, no one wants an empty job just to pay bills. We are here for so much more than that. And I noticed that the younger generations are already having different values and different ones. And they don't care anymore just about the money,
right?
Just about the title. They care about contribution. They care about the earth. They care about change. They care about something different.
Yeah, and they also care about treatment.
Yes, being people, like you said, just being humans with a heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this.
This is the way
so
we
good.
Go.
It is, absolutely. So I'm just curious, for you, how do you create harmony between the human side and the divinity side? Like, how do you bridge that?
This is one of my most beloved things, let's say, areas in what I do and in my life as well, because I started with angels, and this means that I was very like out there in the clouds, not embodied, not integrated at all. I thought that mantras and positive affirmations and courses and workshops and all of that is what it's needed. And then I was brought to reality again at some point. And I understood that I need to really look at my human self as well, and to actually pay attention to my life here on earth, because I have a home I live in that needs my attention, my care. I have bills to pay. I have a relationship to be in present, you know. And this is how slowly I started also like being activated from the inside in a way, because a lot of what I do is inner activations and initiations, revelations and downloads and stuff like this that I'm sure happen to a lot of New Earth people. So it's actually infusing my divine self, my spiritual way of being, like, for example, ritual, ceremony, lighting a candle, using incense, prayer, intention, awareness, honoring the land, the food. All of this is the spiritual infused in my day-to-day life. I mean, this way my life becomes a ceremony, becomes a ritual, becomes sacred. And this is how we bring sacredness into the day-to-day, you know, those little things, remembering to say thank you for this beautiful food, blessing the food I have in front of me, and thanking all those people that contributed to that food to nourish my body, you know, having that maybe candle lit with an intention, thank you sacred ancestral fire, you know, for bringing light, for alchemizing I don't know what, you know, stepping into a forest or stepping on the earth with reverence and saying, thank you, Mother Gaia. Thank you, forest, for receiving me here in your home. It makes me so emotional, as this is the way I live. This is the way I breathe. And I was noticing the other day how I'm so connected to this invisible, to life, through all kinds of little messages, you know, that I see, that I notice, that are messages from the divine all the time. It's not like you have to wait for Jesus to come in flesh in front of you and tell you, hey, wake up.
No.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn around, out and in, there's a message.
Yeah.
There's a guidance. There's a confirmation. There's something for you.
Yeah, I love that. So it's really about just being present in your own body and in your own life with your spiritual practices, which I think is very important for everyone to hear, because when we get into spirituality, often we just go up in the clouds, right? Oh, let's just go remote view or go to a different dimension or get involved with all these, you know, spiritual warfare things out there.
Meditate all day long and call upon, I don't know what, ascended masters all day long. And I don't say these are not real or not good. They are.
Totally.
But here there's a thing about discernment.
Yep.
And there's a thing about measure.
Yeah.
And there's also a thing about taking back your power from all of these practices, methods, gurus, ascended masters, whatever, you know, and understanding that you are multi-dimensional,
yes,
spiritual being in flesh on this earth in the 3D, 4D, whatever, you know, where we live right now. And being present in a, because you know, there's so much taboo and so much limitation and so much programming about the body, about the money, about the sexuality, a lot of shaming, a lot of guilt, a lot of fear associated. So I often say, when you drive a car, that's a spiritual thing. When you wash your clothes, it's a spiritual thing. When you eat, it's a spiritual thing. Like everything is spiritual because we are of spirit.
Exactly.
There's nothing separate.
Exactly. And the reason why I bring up going all up in the clouds and different dimensions is because I used it as an escape. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I couldn't be present in my physical body. And because I felt powerless to change a lot of circumstances in my life, I just went up there to hang out with the angels instead.
Me too. And I know I was so shocked when, for example, I met a woman a lot of years ago and she said, I am on this path for 20 years looking, and I didn't find it. And I'm like, what is she looking for 20 years? Oh my God. And this is what happens. This is what happens where you're not embodied, when you're not living your life here in your body on earth with your emotions, with your sensations. It happens that you keep searching and searching and searching and searching something somewhere up there.
Down
left
here.
And right, teachers, gurus, methods, instruments, courses. All of that, but if you do not practice that, if you do not integrate that in your day-to-day small steps here and there, that makes a big difference.
Exactly. It's like getting healing sessions and things that come to your awareness, you just forget afterwards and don't implement in your day-to-day, right?
Yes, I have this saying, you get high on Zen.
So yeah.
So true. You chase that Zen dose that you go and take at the next course, at the next thing, you pay a lot of money, you go and you spend your energy and time for that dose. Why? Because that dose makes you feel in a certain way, like you're blissful and peaceful. And then you go into all this love and light thing that is just talk. And then that lasts for what, if you really think about it? Because you've been there, I've been there.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Lasts for one day, 3 days, a week, maybe, you know, and then what? Then you're back to your miserable life where nothing changed. Everything's the same. And then you go chase the dose again. How is this transformational? How is this evolution? How is this getting better?
Exactly. Because you're not taking what you're learning and say, for example, there's something about boundaries that comes up. Are you actually implementing boundaries in your physical life past that? Right.
Yes, and so much more. For example, I remember when I was doing the angel work and archangel work, I didn't want people to like give their power away to these archangels just because I said so. Just because I said, you know, Archangel Michael, it's like this and he does this. What I did was teaching them how to feel inside their bodies with their senses and how Archangel Michael is for them.
Right.
How they feel him, how is his presence for them? What do they feel when he appears around them? I know I get shivers, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. And, you know, when this is the way that I think it, all the spirituality should be done. Like, how is it for you? What do you feel about this?
Yeah,
Or
I agree, because I've been
what's
in
the
school.
way for you to implement this?
Right. That is
There's
so
not a model.
Yeah, because I've been in classes where they have said things like it has to be this way for every single person. And I'm like, what? I remember them saying, right, they're like, archangels don't have personalities. I'm like, well, I don't know who you're talking to then, because mine do. You know, and it's the same with any of those types of institutions. They get so
A
stuck and
lot of
rigid,
teaching.
yeah, in that way of teaching, that they don't realize that everyone senses things differently. Everyone utilizes their senses in a different way. What might feel warm to me and feel good for someone else might feel completely opposite for them, right? They might feel cold instead. Yeah.
Even if I think about, for example, because we both have clients and we both work with, you know, with women, with people in our practice.
Yep.
I never say to them, this is how you should do it. This is how you need to do it. This is the rule. This is like applied, because, you know, people are so taught and it's so implemented. I'm sure it happens to you as well. Like, tell me how to do it. Tell me how many times a day. Tell me how to. And I'm always, what is your intuition telling you? What's your body guiding you to do? Take
Exactly.
this and apply it and modify it in your own words, in your own pace, in your own way. And if something that I suggest to you to do in your life doesn't resonate, it's too much for you, you don't like it, you can tell me, I don't like this, I won't do this. That's okay. You have your own free will. You have your own power to decide. There are not, and especially when you work like I do with women and it's about feminine energy and feminine empowerment, intuition is such a big thing. And the
Yes.
compass that the body is, it's such a big thing. There's no recipes, like no 3 times a day or 2 times a day or at that time, you know. And
Exactly.
Another thing about blending spirituality, now it came to me in humanity and practical things, I say like this, it is not a separate thing. It is not like a yoga class. It starts at 5 and finishes at 6.
Totally.
Spirituality and spiritual practice, it's something that you live, it's something that you are, it's a lifestyle, it's from within you, and it is infused in everything that you do and you are. It's
I
not
agree.
finishing. It's not a class.
No, exactly.
Because there's people that say, but I didn't have the time. You
you
don't
have
have
all
to
day,
have
every
the
day.
time. Yes, you don't have to have the time to take a walk and just breathe consciously while you're taking the walk. No
Right.
time aside. You're doing while you're walking.
Exactly. It's same with being intentional, right?
Yes.
Same thing. You're doing it alongside of everything that you're doing that day. Like, if you
Yes,
want to
you wake
experience
up.
more freedom, then come from that emotional state of freedom in every action that you do.
Yes.
Right? And I love that, because so many people think the spirit is separate from the body. It's not.
Yes. It's no. What makes you alive?
It animates
what
our entire
makes you
system.
alive?
Exactly, right?
And if you think it from a different angle, everything is energy.
Yeah.
Everything, including
Even this
flesh.
Physical body. I mean, it looks like a solid, but it's not.
It's just a different frequency, a different vibration, a different speed.
Yeah.
But it's the energy. The cup,
exactly.
The table, the glass, your flesh, your hair, your hands, your bones. So everything is that. So it cannot be separate.
Exactly. There is no separation in energy. And even just thinking it from like a physical standpoint too, like when we pass away, there's a definite weight difference when the spirit leaves. You know, they've done so many studies on that.
Yeah, I've read that.
Yeah, and it's incredible. So you know that it's, to me, it's intertwined in every piece of our physical system. Like, it's not separate whatsoever. Like, we're, I don't like using the word enmeshed, but kind of, you know, like it's so intertwined.
Infused, or, yeah.
Yeah, infused. Absolutely. So there is no separation in our physicality. We're just the physical incarnation of that soul blueprint.
Yes, totally agree with that. With the note that this is a beautiful concept that we need to integrate along the way, because it's not an easy concept for the mind to grasp.
No.
As as a lot of other concepts, because in the spirituality nowadays we talk about love and light everywhere, at every corner. But what is actually love and light? What is actually that in your life? Are you truly feeling love if you only met me 5 minutes ago and you tell me, I love you, love and light? Is that actually true? Or let's say you're miserable, you're sad, you're angry, and out of the sudden, just because you know this from your spiritual teachers or courses or whatever, you tell me out of that miserable state, sending you love and light, sending you love and light. How is that real? How is that integrated?
Yeah.
So let's stop and think a little bit. What is this actually meaning? And how do I feel it? How is this real for me? I even invite people to make lists, like actual lists. Like, what is, for example, what is gentleness for you? Make a list.
Yeah.
How is gentleness in a practical way present in your life or not present in your life? And you want to bring more of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, just the actual.
You have to make everything practical.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love that you've given so many good tips to the listeners as well, you know, to make these lists, to make these higher concepts more practical in physical action.
Always.
So do you have any offers currently for working
my
with
offers,
you?
Yeah, my offers currently are the ones that are about working one-on-one with me. I'm in the process of building a beautiful membership, so stay tuned for that.
Amazing.
And for now, it's my intuitive soulful astrology session that is wonderful. And the other one is my clarity and direction session. It's a bomb session just because it's so packed with getting you unstuck. That's the thing with it. And then there's my process, 6 months, whole woman journey, alchemical journey, which is like a mentorship process where you come like you are and you get out a totally different person, an empowered one.
Amazing. Who is your ideal client? Who do you love to serve?
Oh my God. This is a topic that, you know, in our business, it's it's crazy because it's always shifting, always modifying as we grow, as we evolve.
Yep.
And so for now, my ideal client is that wonderful woman that knows that she can create the change.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is already, let's say, maybe not fully empowered, but she is empowered enough so she can take the action for herself. I know I need this. I'm ready for this commitment. I'm ready to put in the energy, the time, and the focus. This is important for me, so I make no excuses. I go and pay for it. I go and do the work.
Amazing.
So committed and serious about their process.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Thank you. So
thank
I'm going
you.
To put all the links in the description of this podcast as well, so you can find Anca easily. And I just want to thank you so much for being on this podcast, because you're truly an inspiration to so many women out there. And I'm so excited to see how many people you start to impact as the years come. And despite the challenges that you've had in life and everything that you've gone through, you're actually living authentically to you. You're really bridging the spirituality and the human nature, and you're doing it in such a huge wave. And that's going to make the biggest difference in the world, is making this so tactical and practical for so many people out there. Because if it's not, it's just another course. It's just another concept, right?
Yes, totally agree.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and your journey and being so open and so vulnerable with all of us here. So thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you all for listening. May these seeds be planted in the fertile soil of your hearts, and may they blossom with time in your own beautiful pace and rhythm.
Amazing. Thank you so much.